Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Let's talk innovation on Kaya Biz.
And we're going to have that conversation on innovation with Dr. Grant Newton, who is the CEO of the Center for Diabetes and Endocrinology. I had to practice that last bit, endocrinology, and I nailed it and I'm proud of myself. And we're going to be talking about the pain-free ways to monitor blood sugar levels, which is quite interesting. And that's because two healthcare companies in the country, 360 Global Solutions and the Center for Diabetes and Endocrinology, I'm going to be saying this word for the rest of the evening because I've got it right. They're introducing devices to help people living with diabetes monitor blood sugar levels without injections or needles, which is quite fascinating. Doctor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Nastasia. And it took me a little while to get your name right, to respect.
Oh, there you go.
So we're equal.
We're both winning tonight.
Yeah. You can shorten ours, though, to CDE.
CDE, that makes my life even better. So let's talk about these devices. I mean, how does it work? And yeah.
So, Nastasia, maybe if I may start off with, you know, a progression through a little story. And the story is that we've got a major problem, not just in the country, but across the continent, where commonly people call the number 4 million people are struggling with diabetes in our country. So you can imagine the continent is completely under subscribed to the numbers. But I can tell you now that the problem is not just the 4 million people. The problem is what's going to happen. So in other words, 4 million is probably closer to 12 million people in our country. And the people are living in a space where they don't know they've got diabetes. You know, it takes 12 years sometimes for diabetes to manifest as a symptomatic disease. So that means for 12 years, it's starting to break down your cardiovascular system, your blood system inside. So what we've got to do is we've really got to try and find people first. The earlier we find them, the earlier we screen. And I implore the comment to our government and to the private industry to move not just from curative medicine, or move rather from curative medicine to preventative medicine. And that's what we're going to help to save the lives. And I heard your chat around innovation as I was coming in the doors, and it was very exciting because part of what we're doing is to try and create a ubiquitous nature for diagnostics using intelligence. And in this case, AI.
Yes.
Now, not in the financial markets necessarily, as I heard, but certainly in the health market. And when we think about AI, it's not about ChatGPT, right? It's not about Bard. It's more so about FDA-approved algorithms. So, for example, every person living with diabetes should be getting a diabetic retinopathy exam, which effectively is a photograph of your eyes, right? So if those have been, some of your listeners remember going into the optometrist, and they see that big orange ball on the side on the screen, well, Da Vinci wasn't too wrong, because that is a window into your soul. More so, it's a window into your cardiovascular system. So finding people with not just diabetes, because as you can see, and I'm sure I'd love to show your listeners, but
have a fancy gadget with
I have a fancy gadget with me. And what we call it in our shop is the Star Wars gun, right?
Okay.
But the Star Wars gun, this particular, is a replacement. If people just close their eyes and think about when they went to have their eyes tested, they would have put their chins into a machine, two pops of globes in their eye, right? And that photograph comes out on the other side. That has been democratized into the machine, which you can see now. And that machine now is handheld. You can see that I'm literally toying with it in my hands. And think about the fact that this machine, coming out of ophthalmology practices and optometric practices, can be taken into primary care settings, whether in government, in clinics, but also and potentially into the environments of employers. You know, so with these wellness days that get happened, trying to replace, and this is where we're moving on to, people are scared to bleed. And I have this adage, and forgive me for oversharing here a little bit, but I have this adage that says there's no need to bleed. You know, there's a lot of things coming down the line which is supported by technologies, like the camera that I have in my hand, which is supported by AI. If I pointed and shot your eyes today, this evening, in 30 seconds, I can tell you your age. I can tell you if you're a smoker or not.
Yeah.
I can tell you you've got diabetes. I can tell you you've got hypertension. Mm-hmm. I can tell you whether you've got cholesterol problems. And the three demons, as we call them, that come together is hypertension, dyslipidemia, which is cholesterol, and diabetes, because those are the killers. And remember, those are the silent killers. What kills you is going to be the stroke or the MI or that amputation, which suggests that if you've had one, you're probably going to have another one in 5 years. And, of course, blindness, right? So anyway, the technologies that we've got for screening are basically road mapping us now to saying, right, now we found the people. And the next chapter in the story is about we found you, we realized you've got pre-diabetes or you've got diabetes. We need to change a whole bunch of things. We need to move you out of your denial because you're going to go into denial. Mm. And a scary story is that almost 72% of people who get diagnosed with diabetes very soon afterwards would get diagnosed with mental health. So anxiety, depression. I mean, think about their lives, how that's just about to change. Yeah. Their family's life, right? And their community's life. So once we've caught them, let's try and get them onto the devices today that move away from the necessity to bleed from testing. Mm. So if you think about it, a person with diabetes has to take out a little lance and bleed their finger multiple times a day, potentially, put it onto that little strip and put the strip into a glucometer, and then the glucometer will give you a blood sugar reading. Now, who wants to do that once, twice, 10 times a day? And some people have to, right? Because they're trying to manage the insulin levels in their, or the glucose levels in their body to inform them of what they should be doing with insulin, particularly insulin-dependent type 2s and insulin-dependent type 1s.
Yeah.
Today, we have now brought into the country, and we're starting to look at the price, bringing it down quite quickly. But we have devices that, in fact, if you could, you wouldn't be able to show your listeners, but you can see under my shirt, there's a little 5 rand coin style device.
Yes.
What that little thing's doing is it's sending to my phone continuously my glucose reading. Every 3 minutes, it's sending me. So the equivalent of, if I've been sitting here for how many, 5 or so minutes, right? I would have had 2 or 3 readings already. How many finger pricks would I have had to do to get to that same? So the technologies now, we're employing both government and private sector to bring the technologies to the front and to allow us to make them present in primary care settings, not just at the headies of specialists. Let specialists deal with the pathology. Mm. So these kind of little devices, we're already saving people's lives.
When it comes to the Star Wars gun that you showed us a bit earlier on, are you seeing that already out, or is it still taking a while because of the costs and you need to be able to partner with certain companies to be able to get that in the company wellness departments or even within the clinics, as you say?
Yes, it is a very new technology.
Right.
And many of the sciences are going through the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration in the US, for approvals. We have got approval on diabetes retinopathy and diabetes for our AI system. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you an instance. You know, the guns are awesome. I don't know that we say guns, but they're cameras. Let's just make sure that there's no perception that you've got guns in the studio with you tonight. But the cameras, effectively, once the capital cost has been made, it'll cost us about 100 rand to find out whether you've got diabetes or you've got hypertension and cholesterolemia, et cetera, and soon to be said that even neurological diseases, dementia, Alzheimer's, et cetera, which all can be seen through. So from a cost perspective, the more we can get out there, the more we can get partners to make the technology ubiquitous, and we're not holding on to this just as inside, you know, the confines of medical practice. We want to make this, put this in high street retail pharmacies and put this into wellness clinics. Use wellness consultants who are bleeding. I call it the fish and chip effect, right? Mm. Using fish and chip effect, glucometer type readings and cholesterol readings, we can replace that and replace the need. So when people have to come down the stairs for their wellness check, now they can just have photographs of their eyes, and those things can change quite quickly the people's lives, but also productivity and communities. We can now allocate resources appropriately once we look at population risk as well.
In order for you to be able to deploy that technology and to use it to, its full purpose, you mentioned finding the people or getting the people. Mm. Does a lot of that also have to do with changing mindsets where people say, well, I've done all of these tests, I do go in for my regular checkups, but perhaps I should actually do a checkup for diabetes? Or how does this work when it comes to getting the people to say, I'm willing to sit down in front of a healthcare practitioner and actually go through this process?
Stassi, you know, this evening it'd take me about an hour and a half or 2 hours to train you how to use this camera. You do not have to be a clinician to use this camera.
Okay.
It's the AI that effectively runs in the background. So once the 2 photographs have been taken, it then goes into the cloud. It searches millions and millions and millions of other photographs, etc., and it brings down a solution in a report. Mm-hmm. Now, that report can be delivered anywhere, as long as obviously poppy compliance and etc. as we deal with. But it allows us to bring it out of strict clinical practice, although we'd like the doctors, by the way, to be using these machines at primary level as well.
Yeah.
But high street retail pharmacy, where people can walk into shopping centers and just go and have their eyes tested and effectively come out with their chronic disease reports, as well as wellness clinics and obviously the wellness solutions that sit inside employers. We're also working with Minds. So we're talking to deploying in occupational health centers, in primary healthcare centers, in Minds. And I have to say, the Minds have got a sense and a heart for wanting to make sure the communities around them. So these things are mobile. We can put them on trucks. We're already, in fact, investigating a proposal to go into Lesotho, into the mountains. And we can go into the mountains and we can connect them. So I need connection partners and I need deployment partners. And then I just need people to train to take photographs.
Okay. With just 1 minute left off the show, what's the most fascinating thing that continues to, I suppose, intrigue you when you look at technology and medicine and how those two are coming together nicely?
You know, I coined a phrase called driverless healthcare, right? And we've got to be careful around driverless healthcare because AI can take over. AI can do a lot of jobs today that the that unfortunately will leave both technologists and clinicians in abeyance. So we've got to marry, in my view, the warm body effect. But the problem is we haven't got very low access to healthcare and low access to quality healthcare. So I would suggest that what we've got to try and do is to get as many people knowing that they can actually do the function of a clinical process and then triage, send the people to the right doctors, the right clinical spaces at the right time.
All right, doctor. Thank you so much for your time. That is Dr. Grant Newton, who is the CEO of CDE, or the Center for Diabetes and Endocrinology, talking to us about fascinating devices, but also these pain-free ways to be able to monitor your blood sugar levels. And this was on the back of the two healthcare companies, 360 Global Solutions and the CDE, introducing devices to help people living with diabetes monitor their blood sugar levels without injections or needles.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.